You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. And you will note our Lord is going to tell us a specific, think of what we've been doing. We're looking at the end of each of the prophets in the Old Testament as they look into the future so that we get a complete or fuller picture from each of them on the future as we get down the corridor of time. So, as we're going to do now in Luke in chapter 22, you would recall as we did last time or so, in verse 20, this is the Lord looking. You're going to be crucified. And not too long thereafter, 70 AD, Titus is going to level the city. Now, so therefore, when we come to Luke 22 and in verse 21, Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 24 directly, and they shall fall, I'll read verse 23, and woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck, in those days, for there shall be a great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that's what we're looking at. Back over to Daniel and in chapter 2. The times of the Gentiles. Remember Israel, Nebuchadnezzar has leveled the temple and the city, and Israel as a nation, as it was, is put aside. Israel goes to the bottom of the pile. Here's all the nations. God is using Israel to reach all the nations. When you come to Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city, the 10 tribes in the north are gone, the 2 tribes in the south are gone. Israel is put aside. And now it is the times of the Gentiles. We're in them. We're living in them now, and we're looking to where it's going. So, and reminding ourselves as we journey through, we're looking just to get that flavor, that mood and movement that is found as we turn the pages of God's Word. Daniel in chapter 2, you remember, the image Daniel is able to help Nebuchadnezzar see his dream. And the image is a man, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and all covered with gold. And the first head, chapter 2, and in verse 31, thou king sawest, behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Verse 32, this image head was of fine gold, its breast and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron, and toes of iron and clay. And we did all that. It's the image of a man. God created man in his image. Image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So the man is the centerpiece of time, centerpiece. And so therefore, as we did all the different ways to follow it through, all the way to Christ is the Son of Man, and the Satan comes along with his substitute, he's the man of sin. And all of it is about man, man, man. Christ is going to be crucified. the Son of Man is going to die to save all men, all humans. So it's all about man, all about man. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, and here's the image, and remember, the image goes from history is going to be outworked, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, Greece, Media Persia, and then Rome divided up. No one conquered Rome, divided up into toes of iron and clay, which is where we are now. So therefore, as we did all that and looked at all that, so here's the Gentiles, and in the process of this movement, giving history, here's history going to be outworked inch by inch. We're living in history. As you go down to the feet and to the toes of iron and clay, that's where we is. That's where we are. And you say, well, I don't believe. You better start with the head and turn the pages of history, and you're going to find A, B, C. You're going to find a good walking without getting stepping into the water, able to get right through history. It's history before history has happened. And God says, you're where you're at right now. So that helping us. Here's the toes of iron and clay. Now, and remember now, all of this brings about honor. Honor to Daniel, who gets Daniel and his three friends and what they're doing. And so they're all giving this wonderful, and remember, you remember in chapter 1 and in verse 20, in all manners of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. In other words, here's the Babylonians, and here are the captives taken from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, and here are the teenage boys. Daniel's at least teenagers, and no doubt the others are. And thus, here they are, and they're put in the same school. Nebuchadnezzar wants to change them to be like the Babylonians, but they refuse to be changed, and God honors them. And God honors them above all of Babylonian wizards, even their astrologers and their wise men. He takes these young men and makes them wiser than all of them. Now that makes for jealousy, and that makes for hatred. So, interestingly enough, now what is Israel? What are historians going to learn about history? What are they going to learn? God tries to help him. It's the times of the Gentiles. And you need to know why it's the times of the Gentiles, because of Israel's unbelief. So here we are looking, and they are hated, they are despised, and everything is going to be done as much as possible to get them off of the scene. So therefore, chapter 3, we share together that Nebuchadnezzar build, understandably. Nebuchadnezzar, of all the different, in all history, no nation has ever been like Babylon. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, never had to answer to anybody. Media Persia, they all had their different ways. You had to negotiate among the people to who does what, etc. Nebuchadnezzar never had to do that. Never had to do it. He was all alone at the top of the pile, and no one argued with him. Special. Now, keeping that in mind, so we built this image, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, all covered with gold. All, why? Because he's gold. The head is gold. But he makes the whole image gold. So it's covered with gold. So when you look at it, it's a golden image. So as they're looking at the golden image, and as they see that image, as Nebuchadnezzar has made, And so therefore, the enemy, the wise men, the astrologers, and everyone that is against these men, here they have a plot. They're going to go and try to catch them. Now, every time you go and try to catch them, you'll always lose. That's the key. Nations need to learn, hold your finger over to chapter 4, verse 17. 4:17. What do they need to learn? This matter, 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent, to the purpose, that the living, that's us guys, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He setteth up over it the basis of men. So when you want to know how history's going to go, how did Adolf Hitler get in? Benito Mussolini, Hirohito, how do they get in? How do these people get in? God is in charge. God knows the system, and he allows what he does. So, back over in Daniel chapter 3, he builds the image, and the wise men go as they best they can to go and try to catch Meshach, and Abednego, to try to catch them. So try to get them, because they're at the top of the pile. Of all the wise men, they're favored over all of them. So what is, you know, in chapter 3, they get Nebuchadnezzar to build an image. Why wouldn't he build an image? It's the dream as far as Nebuchadnezzar is concerned. Daniel chapter 2, it's all about him. He's the man. He's the image. It's all of gold. It's all about me, said Nebuchadnezzar. So he built this image. And they said, everyone, you need to have all the people honor that image, to honor you, Nebuchadnezzar, because you're so special. So therefore, they had him build the image, and he built the image, as you know, and they had a plan, always a plan. They don't care about Nebuchadnezzar, really. No, they're just after their position and their power. That's what they want. And they don't have it because Daniel and his three friends have it, so they want it back. So now they have a thing. They're going to have his image, and everyone should bow down when that image is worshipped. And as you know, that's what they did. So, and they got it all ready, and so they know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know they aren't going to go down. They know that. Yeah. Isn't it good that people know where you are? They know what you believe, and they already know where you are. They know where you are. Yeah. Yeah. They already know. That guy's a believer. That lady's a believer. She won't do that. She won't do that. Boy, that's good to know. Now, so here they are. And, of course, they build the image as we did, and as you know, and everyone was to bow down when all the things were done. Chapter 3, verse 14, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time, you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made. If you worship not, you shall be cast the same into the same time, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace which they had made. And who is it that God shall, and who, that's underlined in your mind, the end of verse 18, verse 15. And Nebuchadnezzar says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands. I'm somebody. And the dream says I'm somebody. And whoever your God is, he says I'm somebody. So I'm somebody. And who's gonna be able to overcome? What God is there that can take it out of your hands? And now watch it, it's good. And verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And the word careful means to want, to need. We are not compelled. We are not compelled. We don't have to answer you. We are not. It is not necessary for us to tell you about our God. I don't care what I'm going to tell you. God is going to show you. And you're going to see our attitude. What is your attitude, you guys? Verse 17. And if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now God's able to do that, in or out, doesn't matter. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And what did they say? We know God could deliver us from that fiery furnace. They're looking at it. Wow. But they said that. God could deliver us in that. And if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. But if he wants to, he can deliver us. That was, boy, that's good. They believe God, who can ever do that, right? And thus, of course, verse 19, Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of the image was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In his form, he was really mad. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace, one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. So throw more stuff on and get it hot, man. It was so hot, it's going to kill the people that throw them into the furnace. Verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and all dressed up, their hats and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They threw them in, but the men that threw them in died. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down and bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Daniel, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire, into the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, if I see four men walking in the midst of the fiery furnace, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth man is like unto the Son of God. So God, here comes the three of them into the furnace, and who's waiting for them? God is. God's waiting for him in the furnace. Now, there's no problem. Now, remember Moses spent 40 days and nights in the fire of God on the top of Mount Sinai. I mean, I got to tell you, our God is a consuming fire. And yet we're able to go, and you house him when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. you house God, who's an eternal fire. You house him. Ah, true. Yeah. So here they are, and God rescues them, as you know. And out they came, and Nebuchadnezzar, of course, got all up excited, and understandably, and sliding, if I can, sliding down verse 27. And the princes, and the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They were just as before they went in. God did that to them. And the people that hated them had a witness in front of them, an awesome witness. And Nebuchadnezzar has said, as we just read, what God is it that can rescue you from my fire? Ah, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to have to learn. All of the nations that are going to come, God is helping the first nation and Media Persia to help them. Understand, all of you have positions in history for so many years, Hitler, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of you have so much time in history. But you need to never forget, I'm giving you that time. Don't leave me out of the picture. And when you leave me out, idolatry, when you leave me out and then go after the Jews, you don't want to do that. So, having said that, so here we are looking, and they're all upset. Now, the answer to chapter 3, what God is that, in the verse 15, what God is that can deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar has been educated. Over to verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship my God except their own God. Therefore, verse 29, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now, God, what you do? You're trying to help the nations, like I just said, as we get out through history. Don't leave God out. The only reason you're going to be in power and have position is because I allow it. No one has it if I don't allow it. No one. Now, the trouble is, no one learns the lessons. We turn the pages of history. And Alexander the Great, of course, he confronted with prophecy, saw it, but they just don't. We just don't pay attention to God. Where is God? And as you go through all the nations, here we are, we're part of them. And all the nations are there. And in the process of all that, there's no God. In fact, this little old country, these United States of America, we're the exception. We are the sole exception. And remember, Israel isn't like us. We're this, of all the nations, no nation in history is like you is. We have Judeo-Christian background. That's how we're formed. No nation on earth has ever had it like you do. You are special in that sense. And God has honored that specialness in these days of grace. He has honored it. Now, so here we are looking again. And Daniel and his three friends are given great honor. And so chapter 4, when we come to chapter 4, and we look at chapter 4, and what have we got? Well, in the process, when Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, and in the process, and he wanted to know, verse 5, I saw a dream which had made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed, and the visions of my head troubled me. So here's his dream. And he knows the wise men can't do it, and they don't do it. And therefore, and they can't do it. So it ends up that Daniel comes along to save all of them, and he interprets the dream, because he's able to interpret the dream. Why is Daniel able to interpret the dream? God gave him the power to interpret the dream. That's why. Simple. God gave it to him. How do you think the Bible was written? God gave it to them. That's how he got it. God said what he meant and means what he said and did it. So here's Nebuchadnezzar, and he has his dream. And the tree, it's a great tree. The tree grows up. The tree grows up as you read chapter 4 and verse 10. And thus, with the visions of my head, ahead in my bed, I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. Wow, what an awesome tree. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much in it, and was meat for all, that the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He's telling you about this awesome dream. And sliding over chapter 4, in chapter 4. Now, Daniel's going to interpret the dream. Now, here's Nebuchadnezzar in the image. He sees himself, and he lifts himself up. Pride. God humbles him. Now, here's a tree. A tree, an awesome tree. Bigger than, better than anything in Babylon was. Babylon was such a wonderful, big country controlling everything. So, chapter 4, and verse 21. Oh, I've got to read verse 20. And the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof of all the earth. Chapter 4, verse 20. 21. Whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under the which the beasts of the field dwell, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. And it is, verse 22, it is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches into heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down. Now, he didn't get that part. Nebuchadnezzar got the first part. Nebuchadnezzar, you are wow. Remember Lucifer, son of the morning, Daniel, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, the devil, before he fell. What was his problem? He was beautiful. God made him very special. As you know, Ezekiel 28, he made him beautiful. And Lucifer, son of the morning, because all his angels are looking at him, that they aren't like him, and they looked at Lucifer, and Lucifer said, boy, am I beautiful. Am I beautiful? His pride. And when he said that, that began his downfall, because he said, I am beautiful. And you're only beautiful because God makes you beautiful. And so in that moment, he turned against God. And all of the diamonds and all of the jewels and all that God describes, his beauty, became what? If I was full of diamonds and everything that was all brilliant, and you put me in the dark, could you see any of it? You can only see it in the light. Take away the light, and there's no difference between a piece of glass and a diamond. None whatsoever. They all look the same in the dark. Ah. So, here's Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to do what? Chapter 4, and in verse 28. And it came to pass upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, the tree is going to be cut down, but not eliminated. And then it can read all that. In verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of 12 months, God gave him a whole year to think, a whole year to think about what is going to happen. And he didn't do good. He didn't get it. Watch. And the king spake and said, is this not the great Babylon? Verse 30, chapter 4, verse 30. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? It's all about me. It's all about me. No, it isn't. Well, it is true. It is all about you. And you went and you claimed what God was doing. And you thought it was you because of you. And it isn't because of you. It's because of God. But you aren't paying attention, Nebuchadnezzar. So, watch it. Here we are, chapter 20, chapter 4. Well, verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, boy, am I somebody. And while he was just saying it and thinking about it, zoom. Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 years, you're going to be like an animal for 7 years. You're going to go cuckoo in your brain, and you're going to lose your sense of understanding. You're going to go mentally off, and you're going to go out in the field and think you're an animal. You're going to act like an animal. You're going to eat grass like an animal. You're going to grow hair, nails, everything. You're going to look like, you're going to live with them. Live with them. I always ask myself, I would think if I was another lion, I might want to go eat them, but no one wants to eat them. No one's going to eat him when he lives in the field like an animal. Nope, no one's going to eat him. Nope, God's going to keep him for 7 years. For 7 years. God said, cut the tree down, but keep the stump. Don't take the stump. It's going to grow back. So God, what are you going to do? After 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar, God gave him space, and Nebuchadnezzar woke up and realize what's he doing, looking at himself like he was a wreck, like an animal. And Nebuchadnezzar did what? He went and changed. And in the process, verse 33, verse 34, and picking down, if I can, in verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth, well, I got to read verse 31 to catch it. He's, verse 31, at the end of the days, 7 years had finished, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth, verse 35, are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? You don't argue with God, you don't debate with God, you learn to give your heart to God that he can do his wonderful work. And verse 36, at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and the brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought me out. In other words, after 7 years watching your king live in the field, you guys are ready to receive him. Because God's honoring. God's honoring and what he's doing. So it has to work out. So, verse 36, in the middle, counselors and my lords sought me unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellency and majesty was added unto me. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, of all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase, and I'm one of them. He said, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of those guys that said, oh, we do it ever. No, don't ever say that to God. Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, all the history, here we are. Anyone get the message? God gives the king power, but don't abuse the power. Don't abuse it, because God gives it. And if you go too far beyond what he wants, you're all done. Now, having said that, chapter 5. And so Nebuchadnezzar, and comes down the road, three or four little kings, and then comes Belshazzar. Belshazzar, chapter 5, you'll remember, is a king. He's not a good king, and he doesn't even know Daniel exists. He doesn't even know. Daniel's up there living up what he does, and no one, he lives in a little apartment in the palace, and no one pays attention to him. And there's Belshazzar. Now, there he is. And he's commander, he's the king. And what's he do? In the process, chapter 5, he has a big feast. As you know, he has a big feast. Going to celebrate to the gods. And in the process of doing so, then God said, well, Belshazzar, your time is up. It's all finished. So he has the feast. It's time to change from gold to silver. Time to move history. And so here's Belshazzar there, has his feast, and God does his wonderful thing. It ought to be in chapter 5, verse 35. And remember the handwriting on the wall. And in the process, if I can, about read verse 23. This is 5:23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. Pride. There's pride again. There's Belshazzar. Pride. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. This is all the stuff from the temple. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, wood and iron and stone. Think of the image. Which see not, hear not, nor hear nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and those are all thy way, and whose are all thy ways, all thy ways hast thou not glorified. This, verse 24. Then, was the part of the hand sent over upon him, part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written on top of on the wall. Everyone can see it. And this is the writing that was written on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, parasen. And then the interpretation. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. This is where they get Daniel. Daniel is kept to come. They call Daniel out from where he is. And Daniel comes over. And it's going to go, and remember chapter 5, and interpret the dream. He's going to tell him what that is in the wall. And therefore, this is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered the kingdom and finished it. God said, your time's up. I counted the days. Your time is up. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to stop. You're all done. And in the process, take care. Thou art, verse 27, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. You're in the scale, and you aren't just. There is no justice. There is no rightness. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. You're deficient. You're judged. And, lastly, peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And by the way, they're knocking at the door. They aren't even going to knock. They don't have to knock in that great double wall, big net wall around Babylon. No, God lets them get in. And in they go. God opens the thing up and lets them in. Special. God said he was going to do that. And God let them in. And what did they do? The Medes and Persians took the city without a fight. They just took the whole city and they got the whole thing. That's what they did. Just took it. Now, having said that, the kingdom is divided. You are not going to have it anymore. The Media Persia is going to have it. Persians are going to have it. So Belshazzar, what do you do? You're going to go and promote Daniel. You're going to promote Daniel. In verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. He's the third boss. Wow. So God, you keep honoring you. He said, I honor my people in the midst, I'm trying to tell you. When I honor Daniel and Meshach and Abednego, they're honoring me. Your failure is you aren't honoring me. You aren't honoring me. They are. And I put them in front of you for you to see their example. They honor me. You ought to honor me because their example, pay attention to it. Now, so in the light of that, so then comes Darius along, Darius, he becomes the king, as it were, taking over. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole. In other words, his new government takes over, and there's 120 of them. And they take over the whole city, etc. Verse 2, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Daniel's at first again. Daniel's up in the front. Uh-huh. And, because you know it, how could you not be with those people and know these guys are something else? These guys, Daniel, no more Shadrach, and they're gone in the process. Daniel was first. Chapter 6, verse 2. Over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And so Daniel, verse 3, Daniel was preferred over the presidents and princes because, an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole ball of wax. I'm going to make him the boss of the city. I'm going to make him the boss. Now, what do you think the other people thinking of that idea? They aren't happy with that idea. They aren't happy, so now we can't have that happen. So, what are we going to do? We've got to get him. What do you know about Daniel, guys? We know he prays 3 times in his little apartment. He has a window, and he opens that window and turns and faces, looking to Jerusalem. And he prays 3 times a day from that window to Jerusalem, like King Solomon. And the city, God, always keep your name in this place. And Daniel's looking, just like the Muslims. They have Medina, Mecca, and Jerusalem. And they worship. That's, they bow down. They don't bow down just to the North Pole. They bow down to face Mecca, etc. That's what they know. And here's Daniel. And they said, we've got to get him. So therefore, Darius, you make yourself a little commitment to show that we're all faithful. And therefore, if I can, chapter 6 and verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. There's no way to get this guy. There's no way to get him. We gotta trick him. We gotta do some bad thing. And therefore, that these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man that for 30 days, save to thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And so therefore, Darius thought that's all right. He did it for 30 days. They tricked him. And Darius is very sad. Chapter 6 and verse 14. And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, because they tricked him. And Daniel, what did Daniel do? They did the thing, and Daniel did what? What he does every day. He went and prayed. That's what he did. He went and prayed. That's what he did. And Darius, he was tricked. He was not happy. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But he couldn't find any way. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute, which the king established may be changed. You can't change it. And Daniel is offending, and therefore, Daniel, what are you going to do? Be cast into the lion's den. And as you know, verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And I pray your God will rescue you from this. That's what I pray. So, Dad, Darius got it. Did you pick up anything from Nebuchadnezzar? I did. I got a little bit, Darius said. I got a little bit. Daniel's an example to me. So, and therefore, and they went and, in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of those lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. In other words, we don't normally lock the door and put a big stone But we don't want him out. We want Daniel gone into the lion's den. And he went into the lion's den, as you know. And in the process quickly. And verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. He's really concerned about Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then a voice down from the lion pit. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Inasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king said, wow, and they got him out. And then what did they do? Verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lion of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den, and no manner of hurt was found in him, because he believed in his God. So here's Meshach and Abednego, and here's Daniel. And God, what are you doing? You're honoring them, right? Because God, they're honoring me, said God. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought these men, which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of the lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions, boy, they hadn't eaten all night. And before the body hit the ground, here's the pit, and I throw them over the side, and before they hit the ground, the lions have broken their bones. They're hungry lions. They weren't full lions. They didn't touch Daniel. But within hours, man, they gobbled up all the others. Yeah. Now, so God, you're going and taking care of them. I am. I take care of all of it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so as I do what I do in the way that I do it, and you need to know and trust God in a most wonderful, wonderful way, you need to look to God. And therefore, God, what are we going to do? God, and we can't do it now because the time's gone. But you got the idea. And now, here we are. And every age, they don't learn anything. This age of grace, they crucified Jew and Gentile, crucified Christ. They rejected him. They left him out. The world hates John 15, 18, 19. We've been doing it Sunday morning. They hate. The world hates light. They love darkness. They hate Jesus Christ, and they hate Jesus Christ in you. They don't hate you. They hate Christ in you. That's the problem. But they hate God, and they love darkness rather than light. So, having said that, now God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now you've got to quit, jump way ahead, but see it. What do you mean? Well, God, what are you going to do for us? I'm going to do something wonderful. I saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I saved Daniel. They were a testimony to me. So what are you going to do, God? Here we are, in the toes of iron and clay, headed right down with the little horn, the little toes, there they are, the Antichrist and all of it, the image of man being finished and being exalted. The devil does the man of sin. That's what you're going to do, the Antichrist. What are you going to do, God? You're going to do something, you're going to do it. I am. And by the way, I'm going to take you home. Before I do that, I'm going to take you home. Daniel's okay, and you're okay. Because God said, listen, before I let all that happen, I'm taking you home. You don't deserve it. It's just my grace. I'm going to take you home. That's what I'm going to do for you. Yeah. Here we are. And all of it's happening and going to happen. I got to quit. And look to God. Remember the prison ministry. Remember all the sick, the weak, Israel, our country, and everything. I got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for everything. Even this little bit, thank you very much as we try to put the pieces together. God, you work everything out, but you need to be always honored and never dishonored. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.